you out this evening with your Bibles ready to study. Always enjoy Sunday evening time together. Before we begin a work week, to come together and think about those things that are high and holy and set our mind upon those things which are eternal. If you have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to read with you the first four verses. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 begins. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father. Most of us have heard the statement, things have taken a turn for the worse. And this may be in reference to someone's health, or maybe in regard to a particular situation we're facing. But this also can happen in regard to one's spiritual life. One can be going along and they can be growing spiritually and walking with the Lord. And then all of a sudden it seems that their faith has been put to the test and they become weak in the faith or they've become overwhelmed in one way or another. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is look at a man identified as Elijah. And when I look at this man, I see a man who was, in all points as we are, faced great challenges. He was a man that became overwhelmed. If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to the book of James and the 5th chapter. I think that sometimes when we study about men and women of the Bible, we think that they have some great insight that we don't have. We sometimes think that they have something that we don't. That they're able to overcome the challenges of life because they're some superhero. But I want us to understand that these were men and women guided by the Holy Spirit, and yet they were men and women like you and I. In James chapter 5, in verse 17, James talks about Elijah. And he said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He wasn't deity. He wasn't divine. He didn't have some super insight into life other than the fact that he was a prophet. But he was a man that at that time faced great challenges to his faith. And he is the prophet of God during the days of Ahab, the king of Israel. And so in the very beginning of our study, Elijah appears to be doing very well. He goes out, he stands for truth on Mount Carmel. And you remember the great challenge that he had posed to the prophets of Baal. Baal being the god of fire. He said, Your God, if he is so powerful, have him call down fire. And you remember that at that time, the prophets had cut themselves and cried out, begging Baal to bring a fire upon their altar. And you remember that Elijah mocked him and said, Maybe he doesn't hear you. Maybe he's turned aside for something. Why don't you yell a little louder? And then you remember that Elijah had prayed to God. He had poured the water out on the sacrifice, this during a drought. And you remember that his prayer was that God would consume the sacrifice upon the altar, and the God of heaven did exactly that. So that was a great victory. Then you remember he took the people down off Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, the 400, and he killed them by the brook Kidron. And he came back up and he prayed that God would send the rain. For 3.5 years, there'd been no rain because of the prayer of Elijah. And remember, he's a man with a nature like ours, as James said. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and God gave him that prayer. And then you remember now he prayed for the rain to come, and the rain comes. And here was a man that at that time it looks like he's victorious. He took his stand for truth. He did that which would be pleasing to the God of heaven. But in your Bible in 1 Kings chapter 19, notice that this man hears a death threat. This man hears that the queen Jezebel seeks his life. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. I want you to understand that this man becomes overwhelmed with the struggles of life. And what do we mean when we talk about being overwhelmed? We talk about being cast down or set back or burned out. We talk about being discouraged or lonely or feeling pressure that's great. Or might feel like we're going to fall under the pressure of life. We feel the stress of life. And yet, my friend, at this time, he is in a very vulnerable position. But that brings up a thought in our study. When you see this man fleeing out into the wilderness, I want you to recognize the reality of being overwhelmed. It was a sure reality that Elijah was downcast. He felt defeated. Although he had been victorious upon the mountain, I'm sure he was discouraged that the many people who had witnessed that miracle that day, where God had sent down the fire from heaven, that would turn them back to Jehovah God. And no doubt he was discouraged when he didn't see the change suddenly. And no doubt that man felt defeated, but notice that's how he felt. I want us to understand that that is a feeling that someone can have hit them. One can feel cast down. One can feel like they're burned out. One can feel overwhelmed. But that is a feeling that is not always the real truth of the matter. But that brings up a second thought. Have you thought about that came upon him suddenly? Here was a man that at one moment was standing triumphant on the Mount Carmel, and now he's down in the desert asking God to take his life. And it was an attitude that subdued him. He runs from Ahab and Jezebel. He hides under the juniper or the broom tree, and he's ready to give up. That overwhelmed feeling had brought him low, and he says, I'm ready to quit. But I'll tell you something else that Elijah was facing. Elijah was feeling sorry for himself. Elijah was asking, why me? And he's almost asking the question as if God was picking a fight with him. How many times have I heard people say, why me? And the question is, why is God not honoring His Word? Why is God allowing this to happen? And we feel like God's not caring at that time. Or maybe we feel like God has forgotten how righteous we are in comparison to those around about us. And we say, well, why did He allow this to happen to me? I want to know something. Why should it happen to somebody else? But that brings up another thought in our study. Have you ever thought about the reasons he had for being overwhelmed? Have you ever stopped to think about why this man was under the tree asking God to take his life? Well, first, there was the famine he prayed for. 3.5 years of dryness. And no doubt the people were beginning to look around with the drought and the famine, and they were concerned about their well-being. Secondly, he had the fight with the false prophets on Mount Carmel. He had to go through conflict. A lot of people seem to like conflict. I see some people that if they can stir something up, they just seem to love it. But I'll tell you, I don't crave conflict. It comes. But I'll tell you one thing, there's some people that seem to like it, but I feel like Elijah, here he was feeling defeated. But then he was frustrated. Have you thought about his frustration? There'd been no repentance. There'd been no revival. There'd been no restoration upon Mount Carmel. And then his fear. Someone was wanting to take his life. And so now that he's out in the wilderness and he's under the juniper tree, and notice he begins to pray to God to take his life. And I want you to look at that fatigue had set in. Not just physical fatigue, but emotional and spiritual fatigue. Open your Bible back to 1 Kings 19 and notice what happens. In 1 Kings 19, in verse 5, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. And then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. I guess he had some angel food cake. The angel made him a cake there. And then he ate the food, and then the angel came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat again. Here was a man that was fatigued. He continued to sleep. He needed to be restored. He had to eat something. But then notice something else. He'd forgotten something. He had forgotten God's ability, God's authority, and God's activity. So that brings up a third thought in our story. And this is some truths that were revealed during this time. What happens when Elijah is overwhelmed? Well, first, his weaknesses are revealed. Look back in verse 3. In verse 3, it's interesting to me, he's going to run for his life. But then when you get down to verse 4, he asks God to take his life. Why run if you're going to ask God to take it? But that man showed his weakness. He ran away. But then secondly, he had withdrawn from others. He had left his servant at Beersheba. Then he goes into the wilderness and he was alone. But it was not a good time for him to be alone. But then thirdly, you see his wish revealed. He prays that God would take it. Now all I'm going to do is take that. And I want us to make application to our life and the lessons here. I want us to think about some lessons from Elijah being overwhelmed. What can we learn from the prophet of God? First of all, I think we can learn it's a common feeling in life to get overwhelmed. And you know what I've come to learn? Life is hard. In the book of Job, you'll remember in the second chapter, the last verse, Job says two words that stick out to me. Trouble comes. You don't have to look for it. It'll find you. And you may be here tonight. You may not have a gray hair on your head. You may not have a wrinkle on your face. And you may say, oh, I've never faced trouble. Well, don't worry, my friend. You will. It'll come. And life is filled with challenges. And it can feel like at times the world's crushing down on you. When you go through troubles in life and in the family, when you have problems with the spouse or with your children, or when you have problems with your parents or whatever it may be, those kind of troubles can overwhelm you. When you have church problems, those can be so overwhelming at times that you pray that God would help you, give you the right kind of insight to know how to deal with the problem. And yet there's a great pain when you deal with being at odds with your brethren. There's a great pain when brethren divide. And church problems can cause. I'll tell you what else can cause it. Sickness. When we deal with someone who's sick. Somebody we love that now we're having to care for them. And we're trying to tend to them. And all these years they've been healthy and now we're trying to be the one that gives them the care they need. And that can be a burden. That can overwhelm us. Or maybe we become sick. Our health is taken. And I've recognized there are some people, their health has been taken, and they feel overwhelmed. They begin to feel like giving up. I'll tell you something else. Financial trouble can cause one to want to give up. It can make one feel like they're overwhelmed. And I'll tell you something else. When you look out and see immorality and sin all around you, it can overwhelm you. Or when we face death. When we have to bury a loved one. Oh, I'll tell you, that can cause great feelings inside where we feel like we can't go on and we desire to quit. And is it not true tonight that we can become overwhelmed? We can feel like we're at the end of our rope. But remember one thing, that's how we feel. The feeling is real, but oftentimes the problem we face is not what we think it is. Elijah said, I alone, notice that in verse 4, I alone. And notice, if you will, God asked him, what are you doing here? And twice he said, in verse 14 of chapter 19, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. He wasn't alone. He had built it up in his mind. I'll tell you, adversity sometimes can overwhelm us to the point that we lose our perspective. And we exaggerate the problem. Sometimes we exaggerate and make the problem bigger than it really is. And what we need to do is step back. Then something else we need to remember. We need to remember that in self-pity, our eyes lose their focus on who can help us out of the problem. You notice back in 1 Kings 19, God twice in verse 9 and verse 13 asked Elijah, what are you doing here? And that implies Elijah wasn't where he was supposed to be. And twice Elijah gives the answers, I've been zealous, Israel's forsaken your covenant, but I alone am left. And God tells him, no, you're not. I have 7,000 whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and that their mouth hasn't kissed. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because we only look at ourselves. We don't see that there are others going through something similar. But that brings up another thing. oftentimes we become frustrated with life because we let little things pile up. And life becomes monotonous, and we're not excited about anything, so we want to quit. Or we just have the fear of tomorrow or the problems of tomorrow, and we allow others to discourage us. And then we become forgetful of the goodness of God. I've often thought about how God in heaven must feel. And I don't know. I don't pretend to know the feeling of God. But have you noticed God has blessed us and God has given us so many wonderful things, and yet so often we just complain all the time. And I wonder how God must feel of all the blessings He's given us and the fact that He wants a relationship with us and that He has told us this life isn't all there is. There's a life beyond the grave for the Christian. And He tells us in Philippians 4:8 to think upon those things that are holy and pure and true and good. And yet we allow our minds to be self-centered and think about only our problems. How that must make Him feel. How soon we forget the blessings of God. You know what a lot of Mike Richardson's problems is? A lot of Mike Richardson's problems are self-inflicted wounds. Because I failed to keep my eyes upon the goodness of God, and I look around at all my problems. And I forget to give God gratitude. Open your Bible to Philippians 4 for a moment. We just read what he said mentioned in Philippians 4:8, but look in Philippians 4:6. In Philippians 4:6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing." Now that eliminates all things. Don't be anxious about anything is what he's saying. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I have that underscored in my Bible. Nothing and everything. By prayer and supplication, watch it. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why does he throw in there with thanksgiving? Because once I start naming my blessings, I see God has been with me all the while. Once I start thanking God for everything He's given me, I start to see life isn't nearly as bad as I've made it out to be. Once I start to thank God for everything He has bestowed upon me and meeting my provisions here and meeting my spiritual provision, I don't become overwhelmed anymore because I see that God is good to me, though I don't deserve it. And then, whatever things are true or noble or just or pure or lovely or of good report, I think on those things and I meditate on those things. And you know what that'll give me? The peace of God, he says in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. A lot of people want peace, but they're not praying with thanksgiving and they're not meditating on those things that are good. But I'll tell you something else. What we learn about ourselves in such times is our weakness. We learn where we fall short. And you know what I need to learn? That in my weakness, I need to learn to try to build myself up in the faith. And I need to learn that withdrawal is not always good. I need others. And I don't need to ever quit. But I go on to perfection. I run the race till it's over. It's interesting. In Matthew 17, two men appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. And I thought about the one who'd requested death, actually never solved it. The man who had asked God to take his life didn't die, but he rode to heaven in a chariot. And then in the land of promise, on this Mount of Transfiguration, there's Moses and Elijah. At one time he felt overwhelmed, but he didn't quit. He overcame. And just like Elijah, what we do is when we feel overwhelmed, you don't quit, you overcome. Whatever it is that's causing us to have those feelings, don't make it worse than it really is. Now, I'll tell you what. If ever there was someone that needed this sermon, it's your preacher. Because sometimes I blow things out. But instead of being overwhelmed, we need the people that overcome. And God help us by His will overcome that which would cause us to struggle. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, recognize that God is your Father. And you can make your life right with Him. You can be a child of His. And you could serve Him all the days and overcome when you feel overwhelmed by His power and live with Him forever. We pray you come.